listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
At that time, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zachary and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe in her womb leapt. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how have I deserved that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, the moment the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who has believed, because the things promised her by the Lord shall be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That is the gospel reading from the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth. Yesterday was the Feast of the Visitation on May 31st. And this is Life Talk, the monthly radio show of the Respect Life Office. I'm the guest host, Devin Jones. Many of you probably remember hearing me yesterday for the Office for Black Catholics show, which I host. And I have in the studio with me two people from the Respect Life Office, Ray Pingoy and Emily Warpinski. Good morning.
Good morning, Devin.
Great to be here.
How are you? Yes. I thank Margie. She's not here. I know she's on vacation, but I thank her for extending the invitation to me to be the guest host for this show. You know, today there are a lot of things that we could talk about in regards to the culture of life, but I figured that today we could talk about some of the how the culture of life, how the pro-life community is looked at in pop culture. There is an article out that you all have read. I have a copy of it from Fox News, and it talks about MTV pulling a pro-life ad off of their television stations. I guess there was a pro-life ad that offered resources to women in crisis pregnancies that was supposed to air on MTV and BET, and BET, which is Black Entertainment Television, and then most people know what MTV is. And apparently, after only one airing of this however many second commercial, it was pulled off the air. And I'll read a little bit of the article. It says, "There's a storm brewing between MTV and the pro-life media group after the music channel abruptly yanked the nonprofit's ads just a few days into the launch of a new media campaign. Heroic Media announced its We Can Help campaign, which was to air on MTV and BET at an April 30th event. The ads offered women with unexpected pregnancies useful information, but MTV pulled the plug after just one airing. MTV spokeswoman told Fox News in an email that MTV nixed the ads because of a controversial billboard campaign launched by a group with close ties to Heroic Media, which is the organization that put these ads on. And that billboard campaign was co-sponsored by Life Always, and it said that the most dangerous place for an African-American is in the womb, and it was highlighting the fact that in New York, something like 60% of African-American pregnancies ended in abortion. And so, they were highlighting the fact that there was a huge abortion rate amongst African-American women's. Amongst African-American women in New York, and that the organization that co-sponsored that was Life Always, which actually put up billboards here in Chicago in the Inglewood neighborhood, which even in Chicago, we have a high abortion rate amongst African-Americans. I think nationwide, the rate is something like 50%. So, I wanted to get you all's opinion on on that pulling of the ad. You know, what does that say about, I don't know, almost a sense of fairness? It's almost like it's unequal for those of us who work toward a culture of life in the secular world, because our message is so often just pulled, you know?
Yeah, I think it's not fair. You know, they paid for the ads, and, you know, it went against, I think they said it went against their partnership with Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And I would hesitate to even call these ads, like, fully pro-life. I mean, they are very pro-life, but they're also about helping women in crisis pregnancy, which, whether you're pro-abortion or pro-life, everyone wants to help women in crisis pregnancy. So I think it's really confusing that MTV pulled those ads, but it just kind of shows, like, what, as a society, as a culture, we're up against.
Yeah.
And it seems very one-sided. I mean, there's a lot of other ads out there that are, you know, against the pro-life movement.
Right.
But for some reason, they just pulled this one because it's closely tied to the controversial, quote-unquote, controversial ad that they put in New York. So.
And, you know, what I thought was interesting was that in New York, and even the ads that were put up in the Chicago area, in Inglewood, the ones that are in Chicago said something to the effect of every 21 seconds or something like that, the next leader could be aborted.
Right.
And it had a picture of Barack Obama, because it was highlighting, again, the disproportionate rate of abortions in the African-American community. And I thought it was interesting that a lot of people started to say that this group, Life Always, was being racist. And the funny thing is that Life Always was started by Black people. So it was people from me as an African American. It was people from our own community highlighting an issue that is a threat to our community. And, you know, if it had been another issue, say, street violence, and they were saying, well, a disproportionate amount of African-American men commit a lot of street violence, I don't think anybody would have said anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I, you know, it's funny how that whole racist aspect of it was brought up, and the people who are doing it, it's people from the specific community that are talking to their own community about an issue that affects that community.
Right, and it's based on fact, like you said.
Right.
You know, Planned Parenthood and these abortion clinics target these low-income communities.
Right.
And I don't understand, I guess, why. And I think I read that in the Inglewood neighborhood, someone put up a sign that said, abort racism or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me. That's the truth of the situation. And it's terrible that they use racism as an excuse to ignore the message of life.
Right, especially when you look at the history of Planned Parenthood and what the almost genocidal nature that organization was founded upon. I mean, it was specifically founded to eliminate the poor and to eliminate Blacks and other, you know, at the time they called them colored people, but, you know, those groups of people.
Yeah. It's a really good point that you said that if it was about street violence, they wouldn't have any problem. But if it's womb violence, it's something that they have to put down, or, you know, they call it racist. It's totally not the case.
Right. And I think both are equally as violent. And one, I think that street violence in our community comes from a not seeing the dignity and sanctity of human life. I mean, once you can abort a child, I mean, you can pretty much do anything from that point. You know, once a community doesn't see us children as important, what else would they value?
Right. What's that great quote from Mother Teresa about?
I know what you're talking about.
It's like any society that uses violence to get what it wants.
We'll have to look that up. We'll have to look that up, though. But I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think she was speaking to a society that would look to commit violence against its own children. We'll be right back. We have a quick break, and we'll be back with more Life Talk on Relevant Radio.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
We're back with more Life Talk on Relevant Radio, the monthly radio show of the Respect Life Office. I'm your guest host, Devin Jones. I'm here with Emily Warpinski and Raymond Pingoy, both of whom work in the Respect Life Office. Before we left for break, we were talking about this MTV debacle, I guess you could call it, where the TV station, the media group, decided to take off they weren't even really pro-life ads. They were just ads that offered better solutions for women in unexpected pregnancies, better solutions than abortion. And because of some ties that MTV or some agreement that they had with Planned Parenthood, they decided not to run these pro-life ads and decided to do so under the supposed reason of the group being tied to a racist organization, which actually was not the case. The other thing that MTV had on recently was, not to pick on MTV, but you know, we talked about this 16 and Pregnant show. Those of you who don't know what it is, it's a show where I don't want to say they highlight teen pregnancies, but they show the struggles that go along with it. Teens who chose life when they became unexpectedly pregnant. And I guess one of these shows was sponsored by a group that's tied to Planned Parenthood. Is that correct?
Yeah. They had a special show back in January or February, mm-hmm, called No Easy Decision. And it was commercial-free, half-hour show, and followed one of the girls who had been on 16 and Pregnant and, mm-hmm, you know, had kept the baby. And this time, you know, MTV actually gets a lot of flack for that show because most of the girls keep their baby or give them up for adoption. And Planned Parenthood's mad because, you know, that shows people choosing life.
Right.
So they sponsored a half-hour show to show this young girl, and I don't remember her name, as she goes through the process and gets an abortion.
Mm-hmm. She was pretty upset about it in this show, correct?
She was very disturbed. She was even looking for more information. She called the Planned Parenthood hotline, mm-hmm, and she was getting information about it. And, you know, they were using the language of, you know, we're terminating the or we're just removing this this cell or this massive cell and things like that. And she kept on looking at her friend while she was on the phone, and she kept on whispering that, but they're talking about life. That they, you know, they really see that they see the truth that this is life, and they were disturbed by it. And she was crying on the phone, while I believe the lady in Planned Parenthood was explaining to them the whole process, mm-hmm, and trying to calm her and trying to say it's no big deal. Just come in and, mm-hmm, we'll do the procedure.
And her daughter was, or her child, who she had had on the previous season, was sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was her and her boyfriend and her their daughter playing at their feet, and, you know, they're waiting to get an abortion. And, the, you know, the boyfriend's like, oh, just a clump of tissue. Just don't think of it. And she's like, and she pointed to their daughter, and she's like, that's what that is. Is that a clump of tissue?
Right.
And this girl, you could tell, I just felt she was really coerced by her parents and or her mom and her boyfriend, and I'm sure the producers on the TV show.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe even the producers.
I bet. And she really struggled with this decision. In the end, she, you know, got the abortion.
Wow. You know, and it goes back to the whole chastity initiative, too, that comes from your office. I don't think that is – it's not told to kids that they can wait until marriage, that they don't – you know, you don't have to have sex. It's almost like kids are pressured into – living a lifestyle that's a reckless lifestyle. It's very risky, and it ends up creating a lot of problems in their life when they aren't living in accord with how their bodies are supposed to be used.
And unfortunately, that's what they know, and that's what they think, that this is life. This is me as a high school student. I'm supposed to you know, go out there and have sex and you know, drink and all that stuff. And they when they hear the message of chastity, they didn't know they could. They didn't know they were supposed to, or they didn't know that they had that option to wait it's great seeing their face light up when they hear that message, and they're like, oh, no one told me. You know, I saw it on TV. This is what they're surrounded with, and again, unfortunately, they're also surrounded with it in their family.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that they look up to, their maybe their uncle or their older cousin, they're told otherwise.
Right.
They just don't know that they can, and this is a great option for them to live a chaste life.
Right. It's so strange to think about that an entire generation of people don't know that their bodies are worth something, that they are worth something. Yeah. You know, I just don't know where we have gone as a society that we have, in a sense, taught people that they are objects to be used for our own pleasure or for whenever we need them. And you know, from that, even when you go into when you look at poverty and all these different things, the economic collapse, I feel like it all stems from not seeing a sanctity of the human person, and not seeing the dignity that each individual person has.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. That once you dehumanize a person, you begin to use that person. You begin to, you know, do with whatever you want to with that person. Yeah. And that also goes into pornography.
Right.
You know, the way when someone looks at pornography, they look at that person, they dehumanize that person, and they just end up using that person, end up using their bodies.
Right.
And so it really is that once you kind of transform a person into an object, into just an item to use, you don't see the value of life.
Yeah, it's all really connected. You know, we work for the pro-life cause, and a lot of people don't understand how chastity fits into that. And you know, if we can't say that an unborn child has worth, then how can someone say that they have worth? You know, and so you have to look at value and your worth, and that's the culture of death that we're fighting every day. That, you know, mostly, you know, these kids and teenagers are battling against.
You know, Andrew Leick, who's the director of the Office for Black Catholics, I was talking to him one day, and he, you know, he did marriage ministry before he took over in the Office for Black Catholics, and he works with also Protestant groups, many of whom don't have that chastity component and the you know, anti-contraception component when they do marriage prep. And so when he explains the sacramental character of marriage and how contraception kind of ruins that, and how you look at that person as a soul and not just, you know, an object for you, he was saying how many of them, they were just shocked at the Catholic perspective of marriage, the Catholic perspective of the body, you know, going off of that theology of the body that Pope John Paul and other people have talked about. It's just a message that really has to get out there. We got to take a quick break, and we will be right back with more Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800. Or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800, or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Life Talk here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Devin Jones, and I'm back with Emily Warpinski and Ray Pingoy. Before we left, we were talking about, again, this whole MTV ad. But, you know, during the break, we mentioned, you know, we talked about the sacramental character of marriage and seeing a person, seeing your spouse not just as a companion, but marriage in itself as a vocation. And Ray, you were talking about that when you talk to teens, you almost tell them that they have to train themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I asked them because at that age of what, 8th, 9th grade, mm-hmm. 10th grade, they, you know, majority of them feel and think that they're gonna be married.
Right.
And I usually just talk to the boys, and majority of them raise their hand. And of course, I tell them, you know, there's more to it. There's you have to discern this and that. Mm-hmm. But then I tell them, do you guys believe that what you see in the future, how you see yourself in the future, is how you will act today in the present time? If you see yourself as a bum in the future, what are you going to be doing today? You're not going to be doing anything. You know, you're just going to be sitting on a couch. But if and I ask them, what do you see yourself in the future? And they say, you want to go to college, you want to study this, you want to be an NBA star. Mm-hmm. And I flip the question. I say, what should you be doing now? And they say, I should be studying. I should be working on my grades. I should do my homework. I should, you know, eat right and sleep well and stay away from drugs and this and that. And I'm like, that's exactly it. That's what chastity is. You know, we see something great in the future because God has that plan for us.
Right.
What are we doing now? What are we're practicing that.
Right. Yeah. Do you get a chance to talk to the ladies, Emily?
Yeah, I usually talk to the girls, and maybe the girls probably at that age are a little more mature and kind of.
You guys are like, yeah, I'm going to be a football star.
A little more realistic, and you know, it's tough being a girl in today's society. They're mm-hmm. you know, bombarded by messages about how to look and how to act and how to think, and you know, society's telling them that they are sex objects to be used. And so to, you know, and they get this message every day from Facebook, from TV, from, you know, magazine ads and billboards. So I don't think parents realize like how much their kids are getting bombarded with these mm-hmm. messages. So it's, you know, I really try to like, you know, push this message that, you know, that these girls have value and they're, you know, worth the wait, and, you know, chastity it is a great lifestyle to live, and that being a wife and mother is a noble vocation, you know, in any professional vocation, you know, if you're, you know, doing the best you can do to serve God and help others is a noble vocation.
It's, and, you know, you mentioning that being a wife and a mother is a noble vocation, that is, it's that notion of being a wife and a mother is so under attack, and being a priest, but especially, you know, it's almost like you're looked down on if you have more than, you know, one child. And I just think that's so strange, because without children, we have no future. You know, if we have no children, then what are we doing this for? There's no future for us. So it's just very interesting. What can we do as a how do people combat that, especially parents, the constant bombardment of society telling them how they should raise their children? Now you have school systems that are mandating things that are very contrary to Catholic teaching, and that go against what we should be as human beings. How do parents combat all of these issues that are affecting them, and how do kids kind of break that cycle?
They got to move away to a remote location, turn off all the TVs, and
no more internet.
But yeah, I think they really have to talk as husband and wife, and just make sure that they're in the same team. They're in the same team, and to have a mission statement, a core statement or
about,
something,
like,
of how they raise.
This is what our family's about.
Right. Yeah. This is what our family's about. This is how I want to raise my kids. And of course, being Catholic, they have, you know, a great source there to reflect on as well. But I think as a husband, and you know, they need to talk to each other to make sure that they're on the same team, on the same field, and they're going in the same direction.
And I think it's real important, you know, for these kids, and you know, especially as a family, to have a good prayer life and a good sacramental life.
Right.
You know, and be involved, know who your kids' friends are, you know what kind of things they're doing. And, you know, the Respect Life office has some great opportunities for high school students this summer.
Yeah. And, before that, we always say this to the parents, especially when we have parent sessions, that you parents are the primary educators of your children. It starts there. You know, they are the very first teachers. And unfortunately, a lot of the parents kind of just push that responsibility on the teachers, but they really have a great responsibility as parents to their children.
I'm going to put you on the spot because you have a family. So do you have a mission statement?
Well, we're kind of drafting it back and forth. But no, we are. You know, we want to raise our kids you know, very pro-life and very service-oriented. And I want them to do volunteer work that's a good question, because me and my wife have been talking about it, but I think it's especially as a young couple, we need to kind of to put that on paper and just discuss it as a young couple, making sure, because our little boy right now, he's 18 months.
Okay.
So he's, you know, we have a long way to go, but we need to be prepared, because it's starting right now, the whole, you know, the whole parenting.
And they're, you know, pushing this stuff on kids younger and younger younger. So I don't know, it might be by the time he becomes three, you might be having to pull him away from the TV and pull him away from different things. So,
did you read that article about that family? I think it's in Canada. They just had a baby, and they are not telling people the gender of the baby, because they want the baby to decide what it wants to be when it gets older. So, and they have two boys, and they don't let the, you know, they want them to decide who they are and whether they want to go to school or not want to go to school, and what type of people they want to become.
How can you decide
at 5 years old?
Yeah, you know, he has no idea. These kids have no idea about anything. You can't decide. You can't even decide if you want to go to a public school or a Catholic school at that age. Your parent. That's why you have parents, because they're supposed to form you. And whatever you're born. I mean, that's what. How would you decide something like that? I can't wake up and say, I'm now a female. I will always be a male. That would
be
strange.
The parents believe that, you know, gender isn't who you are. You know, it's so however their kids want to dress or act or whatever, that's fine with them. They're discovering themselves, you know, and I think that's, you know, on one extreme, mm-hmm. but I feel like
yeah.
as a society, that's, this is where we're headed, you
right,
know?
Right, right. You know, that's interesting. I'll say that much, you know, and I think that's the key, is that people don't see a difference. People are trying to make it, the society is trying to make it to where there is no difference between being a male and a female, that we are equal, but we are not the same by
right.
any means.
Right.
We deserve equal pay in the workforce and different things like that. But that should be separated from the fact that we have separate roles to mm-hmm. play. You know, a man has a role to play and a woman has a role to play. We can't mix those different roles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about Jesus and the church is Jesus's bride. Jesus is always a man. He cannot be a she. So, and I think when you lose that sense of God and religion, you know, you open yourself up to anything. We have to take yet another break. So we'll be right back with more Life Talk.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we're back with Life Talk, talking about the culture of life in our youth and young adults. We've been talking for the last half hour, so I want to give you all a chance to call in and just voice what you have to say on some of the issues that we've talked about. The number is 312-255-8408. Again, that number is 312-255-8408. 8408. And we have a special guest on the line. He is the executive director of Students for Life of Illinois. John Paul?
Yeah.
How are you?
Doing great. How are you, Devin?
I'm good. I'm good. We kind of put you on the spot calling you this morning, but I hope you'll bear with us. Now, there's a lot of things that are going on with Students for Life of Illinois. Can you you recently had a benefit dinner. Can you talk about some of the things that are upcoming?
Yeah, sure. Today is actually the second day of our summer internship. So we have three college students from around the state. Actually, one's from out of state, and they are helping us over the summer. They're learning about pro-life issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be training them in, you know, leadership training and having them help coordinate some of our summer activities. You know, so we can send them back to campus.
Right.
And they will be more effective helping on their individual campuses.
Okay.
So that's what I'm in the thick of right now. It's the second day, so we're just kind of hitting the ground. They're getting used to things, and I actually, right before you called, I just introduced to them the big summer project they're going to be working on. So
okay, now are they down in Champaign?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, and how long is that program?
It's going to be all summer, about 2 months, 2 months long.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, will they go back and automatically become leaders, or are they planning on starting pro-life groups in their campuses? If they don't already?
All of them have pro-life groups on their campuses already.
Okay.
So, but they'll be able to go back. I know our past interns have had a lot of success.
Okay.
You know, going back to campus and being kind of like, like salt of the earth kind of thing pro-life group that's already in existence there. One of the students who spoke at our banquet that you saw was Jessica Shaw. She's a leader at Illinois Institute of Technology,
mm-hmm.
a Students for Life group there. And, she was one of our interns, and she always told me about how she learned a lot and got, you know, fired up and excited to go back on campus when she was one of our interns. So
now something is going on at IIT, isn't it? Wasn't there an issue as far as in regards to the Respect Life movement on campus there?
Well, they, how do I put this? It's not like a specific issue. It's more of like a general lack of support.
Okay.
And apathy.
Okay.
She mentioned at the banquet, I think this may be what you're referring to, that the feminist group on campus really, was only around for like a month or so.
Okay.
They got a lot more support from the university, from other organizations on campus and things like that, than the Students for Life group had gotten in the last 3 years.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a general, bias against pro-lifers.
Now, didn't they have some type of, I don't know if it was like a sex day or something that was
sex week, right?
Sex week. Yeah, I think that's what I was. I couldn't remember what it was, okay. And then I remembered after stuffing envelopes with the Respect Life office yesterday that it was on the letter. And a lot of campuses are starting to do these kind of, I don't know if they're sponsored by Planned Parenthood or what, but these kind of sex weeks, aren't they?
Yeah, they often are sponsored by Planned Parenthood, or they're like a fundraiser type of thing for Planned Parenthood. We actually had to deal with one of these at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, Illinois.
I remember that. I think
did
I...
Did you hear about that?
Well, I have a lot of friends there, and I received a Facebook invite, and I put a link on the wall to the statistics and different things like that, especially in the African American community. And declined to attend, of course, but I remember seeing that. It wasn't too long ago, I don't think.
Yeah, and the name, at least the year I was thinking of, I can't even repeat on the radio. I wouldn't repeat it in public. You know, it's just an obscene thing, and they're really pushing kind of promiscuity and like any type of sex that is not
right.
monogamous in marriage, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Basically everything else that anybody could come up with.
Right.
That's kind of what they promote. This is at multiple schools, and often it's either one day or one week long where they have different events promoting it. It's often run by the the feminist group
right.
campus, or in conjunction with groups like Planned Parenthood, or often the health center.
Okay. You know, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to get your take on what are some of the difficulties there are in creating a culture of life on college campuses. We'll be right back with more Life Talk.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
We're back with more Life Talk on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We have the Executive Director of Students for Life of Illinois, which works with college campuses to create a culture of life. John Paul, what are some of the difficulties in trying to build the culture of life on college campuses where it's almost most under attack on the college campus? I know at your benefit dinner, you talked about some of the statistics of people, how people are pro-life when they go into college and how many are still pro-life when they leave college.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's something about college that, most colleges and universities anyway, there are a few exceptions, but most colleges and universities that students go to, there's something about it that makes them more pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if we think about it, it's not because they're getting a better education.
Right.
Because the facts, the science, philosophy, it's all on the pro-life side. It's very basic, basic morality, basic law, and basic biology is all you need to know to become solidly pro-life.
Right.
So it's not like they're getting a better education in these different areas. So there's something about it. There's really an ingrained ideology
mm-hmm.
on these campuses. So, I mean, there. You asked about the difficulties on a college campus, and there's really, really long list. But I'll just hit a couple of them. So there are two kind of main categories, and mm-hmm. I would say that apathy is probably number one.
Of the students or of the faculty?
Of the students.
Okay.
So it's easy to look at a college campus and look at things like the sex week and stuff like that and say, oh, you know, this is, you know, the direct ideology that is against life ingrained in these college campuses is really our biggest challenge, which that's huge, and we can't downplay that at all. But apathy is really the biggest thing.
Okay.
Because what I see on campus is that, you know, people go out and try and recruit new members, and Students for Life groups have events and stuff like that. And, you know, there's just a lot of apathy. People don't care. They're more interested in how their weekend went or how their classes are going or whatever. You know, there's a small minority of people who are really strongly pro-choice and really focusing on opposing the pro-life groups and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
in terms of students. But really, when it comes down to it, the apathy is the biggest challenge, I think.
Okay. And you said there was another challenge too, right?
Yes, the other challenge is that direct ideology
okay.
that is ingrained in the university. So there's three main ways that it's really institutionalized.
Mm-hmm.
So first one is, like I talked about with the sex week, these health centers for a lot of these universities are very, very pro-abortion. You know, they are not there to help promote life-giving options.
Okay.
You know, they're promoting contraception, they're promoting abortion. That's the health center, okay? The faculty as a whole is another thing. You know, a lot of the faculty are of that generation that legalized abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them are still very ideologically beholden to the idea that abortion is a woman's right. So even in classes that don't have anything to do with abortion, you'll see these professors talking about it and promoting it. Okay. Number three is you have even departments within the university
mm-hmm.
That are devoted to this. So things like Women's Studies Department and Gender Studies Department, things like that, they will often have as a core component of what they do promoting reproductive rights, which, as we all know, that means abortion.
Hmm.
So these things are really institutionalized in the university. So it's easy to see how, you know, these students who go into college generally pretty pro-life then come out of college generally pretty pro-choice.
And so,
despite the apathy, they're still receiving this pro-choice message over and over and over, and it just kind of sinks in. So they're not necessarily like mostly going out there and you know protesting our pro-life efforts,
right.
But they're slowly being turned, I guess, away from the message of life.
It almost seems like the only way to combat that would be with really legislation. I mean, because what other way could a student, I mean, do the protests work as far as when different student groups protest and have events? Is that working, or do you have to also combine it with working with legislators to kind of change these universities, because a lot of them, I assume, are public universities.
Yeah, a lot of them are public universities, but especially here in Illinois, mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing that is worse than our universities is probably the State House in Springfield.
That's true, yeah.
So, I mean, we definitely do a little bit of lobbying efforts and stuff like that in Springfield, but our main focus is really person-to-person relationship building and reaching out to college students and having them reach out to their peers with this pro-life message.
Okay.
So that's really how Jesus did it, right? Like
right.
He had his 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, and he built them up and then
right.
sent them out.
So it's really about building a relationship or a friendship with these people.
Which I think there's some great opportunities coming up this summer. Mm-hmm. The Respect Life office is really excited to be partnering with Students for Life of Illinois and offering some opportunities for college students this summer to get some training and also just to have fun and build those relationships.
Right,
right, John Paul?
Absolutely. thank you, Emily.
You know what, we have to take another break, but in this last segment, I definitely want to get into some of those opportunities that I myself will be taking advantage of. So we'll be right back with more Life Talk.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Imagine spending a week in a beautiful lakeside setting where you can focus, reflect, pray, and learn more about the treasures of the Bible. This wonderful opportunity is available for all those who sign up for the annual Summer Scripture Seminar at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary. Scholars from across the United States will help you explore the life-giving role the Bible plays in the liturgical life of the Church. This theme is timely as we await the implementation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in November. As always, Summer Scripture is guided by Vatican II's vision of Scripture as the soul of theology. The Summer Scripture Seminar will be held Sunday through Friday, June 19th to the 24th. Stay for the week or sign up for specific lectures. For details, call 847-837-4558 or go to www.summerscripture.org. The Summer Scripture Seminar offers spiritual renewal and inspiration with people who share your passion for the Word of the Lord. It's a great way to start the summer.
We're back with more Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Before we left, we mentioned that there are a lot of things that are coming up with the Respect Life Office, and some of them are partnerships with Students for Life of Illinois. So, Emily and Ray, if you all could go into some of the things that are coming up.
Yeah, we have some great activities for the college students this summer. We're doing a canoe trip on June 26th, and then we're partnering with SFLI for the leadership retreat, which mm-hmm. is going to be, I think it's July 8th and 9th. And then July 10th is going to be Life-a-Palooza. And that weekend, also the Crossroads Ministry team will be coming through Chicago. And it's a group of college students that are pro-life that walk across the United States to raise money for the pro-life cause. And then the last weekend in July, we're going to do a camping trip for college students. So it should be fun. And more information, you know, call the office or go online. And Ray, I think you have some activities as well.
Yeah, July 25 to 26 actually is a two-day summit for Justice and Life Youth Leadership. That's what the Archdiocese, I'm working with the Office for Peace and Justice. And it's July 25 and 26, Justice and Life. It's for teens to learn more about life issues, to mm-hmm. learn more about how to stand up for justice in life. Again, this is a teen event. Another one is it's not for teens. It's for people who work with teens, teachers, DREs, youth ministers. on August 12, and then also another one on August 13. It's the Theology of the Body for Teens training. Brian Butler, he's a co-author of that curriculum from Ascension Press, Theology of the Body for Teens. The first one is Friday, August 12. It's a review, kind of a review of the high school edition. The new edition that they just launched this year, August 13, Saturday, that's going to be the middle school edition. For more information, again, you can go to respectlifechicago.org or call our office and get more information about that. And the website has all both flyers in there.
And the phone number for the Respect Life office is 312-534-5355. The number is 312-534-5355. And the website is www.respectlifechicago.org, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And is there a cost for any of these events?
The Justice in Life, it's $25 per person.
Okay.
This is for teens.
But I believe we have some scholarships available.
That's
as well.
Right. And the Theology of the Body one, it's $55 for the Saturday one, the middle school edition, and $10 just for the review for the high school edition.
Okay.
On Friday.
And I mentioned to you all that I was providing a scholarship for someone who wants to go to the Theology of the Body, the one for the teens and one for the high school. I'll publicly say that I'll up that to
great.
Two. So
right.
I know that's only two, but you know, if someone who's working with middle school or high school people that they can't afford to come to that, I mean, I definitely wouldn't want them to have to. So you know, two. And if I get some more money or someone, then I definitely will provide more, because I think that people really need to basically get on board with this message, because chastity, respect life issues, if we don't stand up for that, you know, our society is going to fail, you know, and we are seeing the effects of looking at people as objects, you know. It's going all the way through the economy. It's mm-hmm. it's going through every aspect of our way as Americans or as a Western society. So and now we're trying to export that to even foreign countries. So
mm-hmm.
yeah. So if they just contact the office, they can sign up for any of those events, right?
Yeah, and go ahead and call the Respect Life office to take advantage of that scholarship that Devin just mentioned.
Yeah, well,
yes.
I mean, we're battling this culture of death, and
yes.
here's some great opportunities for
right.
high school students and for college students, you know, to, you know, arm themselves with knowledge and
right.
also to work on, you know, building that community of, it's tough being a college student,
right.
you know, being pro-life and being on a college campus. So it's so important to have a good support network and
yes.
to build those relationships. So some great opportunities to do that this summer.
And, you know, I don't think people take advantage of you all's office enough, I feel like, you know. And I think, I don't know if people are afraid to call or what the issue is, but I think if every parish in this diocese took advantage of the Respect Life office, well, one, you'd probably have to double your staff, but but you all would be extremely, extremely, I mean, you're already busy, but you'd be a lot more busy than you are. So, again,
we welcome
I, yeah,
that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. So, and I encourage people to definitely get on board with that. Well, we've reached the end of the show. I want to thank our guest, John Paul Dettens from the Students for Life of Illinois. And also I want to thank Margie for allowing me to guest host her show as she is on vacation. And I hope, if she is listening, I hope that I did her show justice and did the office some type of justice. So I guess Life Talk will be back next month, the first Wednesday of the month. So look out for that next month. God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.